The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. It is great to be back in our flagship studio, Memphis, Tennessee, after more than a week on the road for the big book tour. Wow, we'll tell you more about that and all the crazy fun we had. Want to thank my good buddy Jamie Allman from St. Louis for filling in on Friday. Jamie and I go way back. He's just a good old radio guy, and the guy is a rock-solid conservative there in the St. Louis area. So, Jamie Allman, thank you very much for filling in on Friday as I made my way back home to Memphis. Well, we got a lot going on today, folks. Of course, we are waiting to see if Israel is going to retaliate. Now, over the weekend, Iran attacked Israel. Now, keep in mind, this was an unprovoked attack here. Israel didn't start any of this, but Israel is going to finish it. I can promise you that. But anyway, over the weekend, the Iranians launched a massive suicide drone attack on a number of targets across Israel. By and large, it was a complete failure, and that is thanks to God's good grace and also to this Iron Dome and the United States military. We were knocking those drones out of the sky. We were picking them off like the mosquitoes in the summertime. In the deep south. So anyway, President Trump talking about this over the weekend, and the president is a fierce defender of Israel. And by the president, I mean Donald Trump, cut number 9.
Before going any further, I want to say God bless the people of Israel. They're under attack right now. That's because we show great weakness. This would not happen. The weakness that we've shown, it's unbelievable, and it would not have happened if we were in office. You know that. They know that. Everybody knows that. But America prays for Israel. We send our absolute support to everyone in harm's way. This is an attack that would not have happened. I mean, to think about what we have to go through and the things we put up with the border, with no energy independence, with all electric cars. Would everybody like to buy an electric car for the rest of you? But we will return the world to peace through strength, and it'll happen very quickly. I will revive American strength abroad, and we will restore American strength at home. We were respected 4 years ago all over the world. Today, we are considered a joke. It's not going to be for long. Believe me, it's not going to be for long.
All right. So that was the president over the weekend at one of the big rallies. Joe Biden never addressed the nation. They announced he was going to address the nation, and then they decided he was not going to address the nation. So we really don't have any inclination of what Joe Biden is up to, except that he is clearly off his meds and therefore is possibly incapable of making any sort of a statement. But I want to explain to you what's really going on here. So there was some reporting over the weekend that Iran told Turkey that they were going to be attacking Israel. And they laid out all the plans. The United States was brought into this. So the United States was also told in advance by Iran that they were going to be attacking Israel. And our Secretary of State, a very dangerous man, Antony Blinken, told the Iranians, okay, you can attack Iran, but you have to keep it within certain limitations. So you can't go all out. So this whole thing is a setup. And as it now stands, the United States of America, the taxpayers of the United States of America, not only paid for the attack on Israel, but also the defense of Israel. So our tax dollars had been used to purchase these drones. And keep in mind, the Biden administration has unleashed billions of dollars in money for the Iranians. And what do you think they're using this money for? They're not going out to Chick-fil-A. No, they're using this money to buy up arms to destroy Israel. That's the whole point of all of this. But there's a greater issue here. And this is where I think all of this is going. So it turns out that the funding for the war in Ukraine is not going well in the Congress. So what better way to get funding for the Ukrainians than to stage an attack on Israel? And sure enough, over the weekend, we got wind that there is going to be an emergency meeting up on Capitol Hill, and Speaker Johnson, who, by the way, many people now believe might be compromised. They believe that somebody somewhere has something on Speaker Mike Johnson, which is why he has gone squirrely. And I don't know. As far as I know, he is a good and decent man, a lousy leader. So I know him to be a moral man, a moral person. So I would hope that they don't have anything on the speaker, but I don't know. Tucker Carlson, by the way, the latest to jump onto that bandwagon. So anyway, Speaker Johnson has been pushing for the funding of Ukraine, and get this, and now Israel, and the thought process on Capitol Hill as of a couple of hours ago is that there will be a combined military spending package for Israel and Ukraine. So there's a very real possibility. All of this was a great big setup over the weekend. Everybody knew what was about to happen. Everybody knew. And the whole point of this was to turn around and give money to the Ukrainians. Now, you've got Joe Biden out there telling Israel they cannot counterattack. You've got Joe Biden out there allegedly telling, and I say allegedly, I know they were told this. I'm not sure it was by Biden. Could have been by Obama. But the Israelis were told, you cannot counterattack. You have to stand down. And that really is the starting out point today. What do you think the Israelis ought to do here? Now, it just seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, that we have no business telling Israel what to do. It's their country, their homeland. Seems to me they're the ones who came under attack. They're the ones who should say whether or not they turn Iran into a glass parking lot. And it just seems to me that what Israel should be doing is delivering a fierce and unrelenting and unapologetic attack on Tehran. That's what they ought to be doing here. I go back to 1979 when the Shah of Iran was overthrown. He was toppled. You had the Ayatollahs coming to power. They invaded our embassy. They took Americans hostage. And we became the laughingstock of the world. And that was under a weak Democrat president by the names of James Earl Carter. And Jimmy Carter, as they called him, Mr. Jimmy. Well, the problem with Mr. Jimmy, he was a nice guy, but he was a weak leader. And Jimmy Carter should have taken care of Iran back in 1979. As a matter of fact, there was a great song of the time. You might remember it. I remember when I was in junior high school, and we would sing this on the school bus. Bomb, 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 Iran. That was everybody was singing it. Do you guys remember that time? It's true. The nation wanted to take action, but our Democrat government stood down. So again, here we are, and instead of taking care of business in 1979, we have a We have a rogue nation run by terrorists who have possibly control of nuclear weapons. So my question to you is, what do you think Israel ought to do here? Should Israel fight back, or should Israel do the bidding of Joe Biden and the anti-Semites? Oh, speaking of anti-Semites, did you hear what happened outside of Chicago's airport? You can't get to Chicago's O'Hare International Airport this morning. So they got all these anti-Semites out there, this huge mob, and they're blocking the Kennedy Expressway. That's the expressway that gets you to the airport. People are literally at this hour abandoning their cars, and they're having to walk to the airport to get to their flights. Meanwhile, all these people are also reporting that the police are just standing there with their thumbs up their butts. And the police, they're not arresting anybody. They're not stopping the mob. Clearly, they have been told to stand down. One set of rules for the anti-Semites, another set of rules for the rest of us. That's what that is. So anyway, we're going to take your calls on that. What do you think Israel ought to do? Because some people are afraid, well, this could lead to World War III. No. What will lead to World War III is what's happening in Ukraine. That's why we don't need to be anywhere near that situation. But what's happening in Israel is a matter of life or death. What's happening in Israel is you had this tiny sliver of land known as Israel, and the Muslims want to wipe it off the face of the earth. They want another Holocaust. They want mass genocide of Jews. We cannot allow that to happen. Israel's not asking for our help. Israel is not asking for bodies to fight. They're more than willing to fight the enemy themselves. But the idea that we're going to put Israel on a leash, I got a problem with that. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Also, President Trump is in a courthouse in New York City. We've got some breaking news on that. We're going to be talking to Caroline Leavitt, the president's national press secretary, coming up. Also, Governor Tate Reeves from Mississippi is going to be here. He is really fired up about the border situation, and he has had it. He has had it because Mississippians are being killed by illegals in the Magnolia State. Also, Chris Salcedo from Newsmax TV is going to drop by, and he'll weigh in on President Biden's very, very weak response over the weekend to the attack on Israel. Again, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Remember when you were a kid, and you probably remember this, your mom, you'd be eating your dinner, and your mom would say, "Now, you can't leave the table till you eat all those vegetables. You got to eat all your vegetables." Or, you know, maybe you wanted a moon pie for dessert, and your mom was tossing you an apple instead. Well, that's because they knew what was good for you, and it's true. You got to eat your fruit, and you got to eat your veggies. Got to do it. No substitute for a healthy diet, but there is Balance of Nature. That's right, folks. Balance of Nature, their products, gluten-free and non-GMO. They don't contain any sugars or synthetics. So if you're looking for something to make you feel better naturally, you got to try Balance of Nature today. You can eat your fruits and veggies every single day with Balance of Nature. I started taking Balance of Nature the day I decided I was ready to feel better. I would not have made it on this book tour without the Balance of Nature, I'm telling you. So here's the deal. I want you to go right now to balanceofnature.com. That's balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code Todd, and you're going to get 35% off your order. That's a pretty spectacular offer. Again, balanceofnature.com. Use that discount code Todd, and you're going to get 35% off. We'll be right back. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, everybody, and we are monitoring developments in the Trump trial. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Right now, though, let's go to the phones. North Carolina, Angela is listening to us on WSJS, our great affiliate in Winston-Salem. Hi, Angela, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. We are faithful listeners, and we just thank you so much for always putting a good word out about what is going on in this country and how much there needs to be an improvement. Why would we consider still supporting Ukraine after all they have flubbed and messed up? But Israel, our ally, I mean, why or how would our political leaders even consider turning their backs? Israel deserves our entire support, and we have an entire nation. They don't even want us to come be bodies, but we should be able to support the fact that they are under God's name and they belong protected.
Well, what is it the Bible says? God will bless those who bless Israel. He will curse those who curse Israel. And I think that we are in some very dangerous waters if we as a nation are giving the okay for Iran to attack Israel.
Absolutely. That is completely wrong. We should not. What have we ever done that Iran has done for us except destruction? How silly is this? How destructive does our people in the nation that have to be so uneducated to realize this is preposterous?
You would be shocked, Angela. I mean, there are a lot of people who just do not engage in politics. They're not paying attention to the news. They just don't care. They either have their eyeballs glued to a video game or something else, but they're not really paying attention. And I will say this, that when you look at Barack Obama and his administration, you have Valerie Jarrett, whose family comes from Iran. It's very clear to me that there's something else going on here besides just backing Iran. I think this is more about shoring up the base of the Democrat Party, who's been out there protesting Joe Biden and his support for Israel.
It's complicated. It's just not necessary. It's so much. There just should be clear and present information that people could. Why don't they listen to you? It's all there.
Well, we have offered, Angela, and it's pretty clear to me where all of this is going. My concern now is, what about the United States? Are we putting ourselves in jeopardy by siding with the Irans here, with the Iranians, and signing off on all of this? Very dangerous situation and a very dangerous game Joe Biden is playing.
Absolutely. He's incompetent. This is ridiculous.
All right, Angela, thank you for that call, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Jim, WSIC, in Statesville, North Carolina. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking, Jim.
Yes, sir. I'm glad your book's going well.
Thank
Listen,
you.
Who does this administration think they are that they can tell Israel how to respond to attacks by Iran?
Could you imagine, Jim, that let's just say the Mexicans are flying drones over Texas and New Mexico and Arizona, and Netanyahu calls up Biden and says, yeah, I don't want you guys shooting those things down. Yeah, you've
exactly.
got to stand down.
Yeah, and then the same with the O'Hare Airport. Why is it when the blacks burn the cities down with BLM stuff and Muslims... riot, nothing happens. But when a white guy goes to a city council meeting and talks about the garbage in the school libraries, he's considered a terrorist. Why is that?
It's true. Jim, you're very observant, sir. Just look, over the weekend, and we're going to talk more about this later in the show, there was a huge street takeover, street racing in downtown Memphis outside of the beautiful historic Orpheum Theater. Police were literally told to stand down. But I can promise you this, Jim, if those people were waving MAGA flags, they'd all be in jail right now. Jim, got to run, my friend. Appreciate you calling in. 901-260-5926. It's a double standard. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So this just in from New York City, where Alvin Bragg's office is going to push for the judge to hold President Trump in contempt. They're accusing the president of violating gag orders. So they want the president, I don't know what, thrown in jail. Honestly, President Trump ought to call their bluff on this. That's what he ought to do. We're keeping close eye on what's going on there now. 500 people will be interviewed for the jury pool, and we'll keep you updated on those developments as well. And also whether or not President Trump will be held in contempt. President Trump's like, fine, throw me in jail. I will say this. If that happens, president could very well win in a landslide. But it is a mess down there. Also, it is a mess at our southern border. And many states are now understanding what it means when we say that every state is a border state. Every city is a border city. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. It is an honor to have the governor of Mississippi joining us, Governor Tate Reeves. Governor, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, Todd, I'm doing great today. I hope you are as well.
I am, and thank you for taking some time to chat with us here. I've been really impressed with your response to some horrible tragedies that have happened in the Magnolia State, where illegal aliens are accused of really horrible things against minors, as well as at least one instance of murder. What's going on?
Well, there's no doubt. We've literally in the last couple of weeks, over about a 3 or 4 day period, we experienced a situation in which an illegal alien from Mexico was arrested for committing a murder in our capital city. He had a small child in his vehicle when he pulled out a weapon and fired. There were multiple assault rifles seized when they took him into custody. And that came on the heels literally of an additional illegal alien, not from Mexico, but from Guatemala, being arrested on our Gulf Coast because he was sneaking into women's restrooms. And that's just unbelievable to me. And it just shows how these are stark reminders of how Joe Biden's decisions have affected not only our border policy and our situation at the border, but how his conscious decisions on border policy have made literally every state a border state, and we're having to deal with these illegal aliens.
Governor, I'm wondering if you guys have had any contact with Homeland Security. Are they giving you any advance warning that these illegals are being brought to your state?
Well, no. That's been an issue since the beginning of the Biden administration is the fact of the matter is that the administration is not communicating, certainly with no Republican governors or conservative governors, and I don't know that they're communicating with any governors. The fact is that since Joe Biden has been president, there's been over 7.4 million illegal immigrants apprehended at the border. That is more than the population of 33 different states in the United States of America. It is outrageous, and there is no communication, and quite frankly, and I think this is very important, and I know I say it over and over, but it's true. These are based directly on conscious decisions made by President Biden when he came into office. The fact is, we have the same laws on the books today that we had during the Trump administration, but the executive orders that Joe Biden decided to do away with when Trump went out of office, these conscious decisions are leading to the challenges that we're having to deal with in every state across America.
And let's get real for a minute here, Governor. I mean, Mississippi's a red state, predominantly red state, and I'm wondering if the illegals are being sent to Mississippi to change that, to turn you guys into a purple or blue state.
Well, there's no doubt that the decisions being made by the Biden administration are political in nature. There is no doubt that they are seeing that they've made these decisions because they believe that it gives them a political advantage. But at the core of this issue is really crime. And these illegal aliens, some of whom are coming from countries all across the world and then committing crimes in our states and committing crimes against our people, it's unbelievable to me. And look, I think the American people are seeing it now. I think they're understanding it now. I think they realize that every state in America is a border state today caused by Joe Biden's policies. And I'm hopeful that they not only are seeing it and understand it, but it's going to help drive their votes in November.
Governor Tate Reeves from Mississippi joining us today on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, Governor, of course, we base our national show here in Memphis, which is the crime capital of America. And I'm wondering how things are going since you share a border with Tennessee and specifically Memphis. How are things going in the northern part of your state?
Well, you're exactly right. You know this well. You and I have talked about this before. We have a significant additional law enforcement presence in DeSoto County, Mississippi. For instance, the DeSoto County Sheriff's Office, we just recently elected a new sheriff in DeSoto County that is focused on law and order, and that focus is driven by necessity, and that necessity is because of the crime that is being committed in Memphis, and the reality is it flows over into those counties in the northernmost part of Mississippi. And so and by the way, what we're seeing in Memphis is not unique just to that city. It's not shared only by the city of Jackson, our capital city. Violent crime is up across America in cities that mostly are led by Democrat politicians, and this is a phenomenon that's occurred over the last several years. We've actually hired state police through our Capitol Police Department, and we have approximately 160 officers in our capital city today because we know that protecting our citizens from violent crime and from crimes in general is a core function of government, and we're willing to invest our resources and put our money where our mouth is to try to protect our citizens of all backgrounds and of all political persuasions.
You know what I find fascinating, and it's just really marveling at the strength of the Republican Party in DeSoto County, where you've also have a very diverse group of elected leaders for the first black state representative since Reconstruction was elected from DeSoto County, a predominantly white district. But Rodney Hall is making some inroads and earning a name for himself. And, of course, you mentioned the sheriff.
Yeah, both gentlemen are just good, strong, conservative individuals. Representative Hall is really making his mark down here in Jackson, the first Republican African-American member of our Republican caucus in the House of Representatives. And the sheriff is someone that I've known for a long, long time. He won a contested Republican primary up in DeSoto County, and then he spent a lot of months after that Republican primary campaigning for me and making sure that we kept Mississippi red. And so both the representative and the sheriff are good, strong conservatives, and we're proud to have them as members of our party. And they're going to do a lot of good things in the future.
Well, and I'm excited to see that because clearly what you guys are doing in Mississippi from a Republican perspective, it's working, and you guys are winning races. And I certainly hope that maybe people are picking up the phone or shooting you an email saying, hey, you know, how did you guys do it? Because we need to replicate that across the state line.
Well, and look, we need to replicate that across America. I think you're seeing that more and more in the 2024 national elections. You're seeing our Senate candidates, I believe, and our certainly our presidential candidate doing better amongst African Americans than we did 4 years ago. We're certainly doing better amongst Hispanic Americans than we did 4 years ago. And the reason for that is simple, is because many, many folks in the middle vote based upon pocketbook issues and based upon crime. And I don't think there are very many people in America that think that since Joe Biden has become president that they're doing better in their pocketbook or that they're doing better in terms of safety across communities in America. And that's leading to an uptick in support. And that's something that all of us as Republican elected leaders in our states and across America must build upon and recognize that, look, when it comes to are you better off 4 years ago than you are today, that's a pretty easy answer for middle-class Americans, particularly in middle America.
All right. Well, Governor, we're going to leave it there and appreciate the great work you're doing there in Mississippi.
Thank you so much, Todd. Good to see you. Good to talk to you again.
All right. Same here. Governor Tate Reeves, everybody, good guy down there in Mississippi. And he fighting back against the Biden administration, dumping illegals in the Magnolia State. And I love what he had to say about replicating their success in other areas of the country, because that does need to happen. They have got a winning message down in Mississippi. And also, they are moving the party beyond just being a country club party. And that's even more impressive. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls. Also want to say thank you. Thank you so much for your support of this radio program. Last week, Talkers Magazine, the top industry news organization, named the Todd Starnes Show one of the top 100 talk radio programs in the nation. We came in ranked number 26. We're the only independently syndicated radio program to make the top 50 list. And that's because of you and all of the great radio stations that broadcast this program. So on behalf of all of us here on the team, I want to say thank you, and we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. I want to give you an update here on the trial, President Trump's trial, getting underway in New York City. So Judge Juan Merchan is the presiding judge here, and he is a radical Democrat, and his daughter especially is rabidly anti-Trump. The judge now ordering President Trump to be in the courtroom every day of the trial. And the judge literally told President Trump that if you do not show up, there will be an arrest. So now the judge is threatening to arrest President Trump if he does not show up for every day of the criminal trial. So as long as court is in session, the judge says that Trump has to be in the courtroom. So what does that mean? Well, it means that the judge is taking President Trump off the campaign trail. And it looks as though Trump will be off the campaign trail until this trial is over, or at least during the weekday, which will limit the ability of President Trump to get out there and campaign. Look, folks, this is all a sham trial. A sham trial. And you need to be aware of that. There's going to be a lot of stuff thrown around, a lot of accusations thrown around, but Trump has done nothing wrong. By the way, Judge Merchan's daughter literally works to elect Democrats. And now the judge is trying to silence Trump. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of devious stuff going down here. A lot. So where are we? And just to give you some a little blow-by-blow here, the president in the courtroom, he faces charges that he faked business records to cover up a sex scandal, which, by the way, Stormy Daniels has denied ever took place. So this is all a sham trial. It is also the first criminal trial of an American president. And all you need to do is look at Alvin Bragg's background and you'll understand what's really going on here. But this all goes back to 2016. The judge also says he will remain on the case in spite of the conflict of interest, and he rejected President Trump's effort to have him removed from the case. So here's my recommendation, is that all of you Trump supporters out there, by the way, so the judge also says that the jury will have to be in session, court will have to be in session on Fridays. You say, well, what's the big deal there? It's a huge deal, because President Trump has massive support among the Orthodox Jewish population in New York City. Therefore, all of the Orthodox Jews are automatically removed from the jury pool. The president's not going to get a fair trial here, folks. So here's what needs to happen, is that we need to make sure all of you Trump supporters that are out there right now in New York City, when you show up and you're interviewed, don't wear your Trump, don't wear the MAGA hat. You know, you got to go in incognito. Don't lie, but you got to, don't be wearing the Trump t-shirts. Don't be wearing the MAGA stuff, right? Go in there. I'm just telling you, we got to play like the Democrats play here. No, I'm not saying do anything illegal. I'm just saying be smart. You got to be wise as a serpent, because there's a mess of snakes in that courtroom. That's what I'm trying to say. All right. Let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Anna in Georgia. Hi, Anna. What do you make of what's happening in New York City today?
Oh, God. You know, I'm going to tell you, what this judge doesn't understand is this. We're not cut out like all these other people that vote for representation. We're Trump supporters, and that makes the difference. I'll tell you, we're just focused. It doesn't matter. We already know what the message is, and we already know what we want. As far as the fine Jewish people on Friday, further supports their focus. You know, he's got nothing to worry about at all. The more that judge does, the more shooting himself in the foot. And that's just the way it is.
So, Anna, here's what we know about the judge. He donated to Joe Biden's campaign. He donated to another anti-Trump cause in 2020. And he is a registered Democrat. So clearly there is bias against President Trump right there. Then he's got a grown daughter, and you know they're saying, "How dare he? How dare he attack the children? Leave the children out of it." Okay, this is a grown woman who is making money and earning prestige by the fact that her father is prosecuting President Trump. So she is fair. The entire family is fair game in my estimation.
This is a conflict of interest, and that judge should recuse himself. All these people should recuse themselves because they are bringing him to court they're charging him with things because they hate him, not because he did anything. I mean, he might have done some things that were squirrely, but, you know, what politician has it? Look at Nixon, look at Kennedy, look at them all. I mean, they're all big egos, but that's not even the problem. The problem is this. They have nothing. And that jury, you know, they better not count the chickens before they hatch, because that jury may very well decide, what am I listening to? There's nothing there.
All right, Anna, got to run here. We're coming up on a news break. Appreciate the call. Folks, I'm telling you, this is a bad judge. He is a bad egg. And this is all about punishing Donald Trump for beating Hillary Clinton. That's all this is. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. 901-260-5926, our number. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Wrong. All right, that's what it sounds like outside the courthouse in New York City. Hello, everybody. This is hour two of the big show, and it is great to be back with you after a week out on the road. I want to thank again our friends at KQAM, our great affiliate there in Wichita, Kansas, and we are so excited about the show and the growth of the show there in the Wichita area, and we appreciate just all of their hard work. Our telephone number, folks, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We are watching a banana republic unfolding in New York City right now. Judge Juan Merchan has now ordered President Trump to stay in the courtroom every day the trial is in session. And the judge telling Trump, if you do not show up, there will be an arrest. So this is all meant to take Donald Trump off the campaign trail. And they're really not even trying to hide what they're up to. And also the district attorney, Alvin Bragg, now wanting the judge to hold President Trump in contempt. We're going to keep you updated on those developments throughout the day. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend. He is a host of Newsmax's Chris Salcedo Show, also the Salcedo Storm podcast. Chris Salcedo. Hey, Chris, how's it going today?
Brother Starnes, good to be with you, my man.
So what do you make of what's unfolding right now in New York City? You think Trump's got a shot at getting a fair trial here?
Not at all. First off, he also requested if he could take a day to attend Barron Trump's graduation. And the judge said no. This judge is a left-wing zealot whose daughter is a left-wing zealot. 90% of New York's electorate voted for Joe Biden. The judge in question donated to Joe Biden's campaign. His daughter worked for Kamala Harris and was putting out disparaging remarks about President Trump. But we're supposed to believe he's up for a free trial. And let's not forget, Brother Starnes, that this charge by Alvin Bragg was looked at his predecessor and passed on because there wasn't enough there. It's a misdemeanor, a state misdemeanor, whose statute of limitations has expired, and Alvin Bragg, through fairy dust and unicorn poop, has managed to turn this misdemeanor into a felony federal charge against President Trump with the express purpose, as you say, of keeping him off the campaign trail. It's transparent. It's nakedly transparent. They just don't care.
What does it say, though, that this judge, who's a sleazeball, the guy donated to Biden, he donated to an anti-Trump cause, he's a Democrat, and now he's going to deny the president of the United States the opportunity to see his own son, his flesh and blood, graduate from high school?
It says that they will stop at nothing. And frankly, several so-called, air quotes, Republicans will allow them to stop at nothing, to do whatever it takes to get to shove their agenda down the people's throats. And the reason why President Trump is so reviled and so hated is he stands in their way and he's unapologetic about it. Unlike Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney and others who are doing their best to defer to the Democrats' good judgment, air quotes, good judgment. Trump says, no, I think there's a better way. It's called the American way. And a lot of Democrats don't like that.
Well, I know the Trump team is already sounding off. Caroline Leavitt, who's going to be on the program in just about 25 minutes, says this is just already despicable. I think it's going to get worse. And honestly, Chris, they ought to throw Trump in jail. I think if they do that, Trump wins. I think Trump ought to call their bluff.
They will. If there is the slightest predicate, they will put him in jail. They will take him off the trail. The American people will see it. And again, I don't know, man. I don't know that this country, somebody was on Twitter earlier today commenting, I don't know this country survives intact with four show trials designed to take out one of the political opponents, the major political opponent of the current man sitting in the Oval Office. It is incredibly dangerous what they're doing.
Chris Salcedo joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Chris, do you think as far as the jury pool, they're not going to allow jurors to take off on Fridays, which means the Orthodox Jewish population is completely exempt now from this, which is, I think, bad news because they are typically pro-Trump. I'm wondering, do you think they're going to be able to seat a fair jury here?
Not at all. And again, that's why it's being done in these jurisdictions, with the exception of Aileen Cannon down in Florida. And they tried to get a change of venue from Florida, right, with the so-called classified documents case, which is absurd, too. And let's remind everybody very, very quickly, Trump is accused of stealing documents he had every right under the law to have, while Joe Biden stole classified documents for 40 plus years, and he won't be charged. And Americans go, huh? How does that work? So with the exception of Aileen Cannon's court in Florida, which they tried to get that venue changed, all of these jurisdictions are left-wing, decidedly hate-filled Trump despisers with the expressed intent of stacking the jury pool against President Trump.
Chris, we've been following another story, which is out of Israel over the weekend, Iran launching that attack. And it was not a surprise attack. This thing was very well choreographed. And now from the reporting at Reuters, they're saying that the Biden administration knew all about this in advance and actually told Iran, okay, you can hit them, but don't hit them too hard.
See, I'm with you. You said the right word, choreographed. I was reminded, you know how during the Civil War, and this is the danger of having projectiles flying through the air that are deadly. Remember, there were picnics on hillsides as the opening battle to the Civil War got going. Americans thought it was going to be some little, you know, tiff, and then we would go back to our respective corners and everything would be fine. Of course, it ended up being the bloodiest war in American history. I got that sense watching how the American people were served up. Hey, it's a military response. Here come the Iranians, and they're firing drones and missiles, and they're telegraphing everything. And Joe Biden is out there giving press releases saying, "Well, take the win, Israel. Just take the win. No harm, no foul. Yeah, hundreds of drones and missiles were fired at your country, but hey, we stopped them all." And the level of coordination that I fear is going on between Joe Biden and the Democrats and the Iranian regime, that they've been making flush with cash, billions and billions and billions of dollars, that they're just saying, yeah, you know, we'll stay out of it. We'll let you save face here. We'll stop all of your missiles. But Brother Starnes, it's even worse than that. The money that we financed to fire the missiles and the drones, that's American money being shot out of the air by American planes, by allied planes, American money. And then Iron Dome, American money being used to defend Israel. It's all American money being shot out of the air and shot through the air. And the American people are the ones taken for the ride.
We're literally funding both sides of the war.
Right?
It's
right.
Unbelievable. And again, my question is, what right do we have to tell Israel how to conduct their affairs? And that's where I'm getting really concerned. I've read the Bible. It says God will bless those who bless Israel, curse those who curse Israel. And here we are colluding with Israel's enemy to cause damage and mayhem within the nation of Israel herself.
Yes. And it's even more troubling than that, because it seems that everything's being done for the Democrats' political benefit. The foreign policy, I think Barack Obama was a true believer, a complete Israel hater was Barack Obama. Joe Biden has a different problem. He's got this coalition that Obama put together of Jews and those who hate Jews and the squad. And they're trying to keep this anti-American coalition of theirs together. And a lot of people in the Jewish community, as you pointed out earlier, they're big Trump supporters now because of the way the Democrats have handled themselves. So I think it is a bit, the bloom is nearly off the rose. I think the American people are starting to see, wow, we've got a Democrat party and a Democrat regime in charge in Washington that really isn't in it for our traditional allies. and they're trying to graduate and keep as many people as they possibly can from the Jewish community just to keep themselves in power before they throw them under the bus the way they do every other constituency they've chewed up and spit out because they need to move on politically. And I don't understand exactly how much longer the and if it weren't for the Republicans, the Democrats wouldn't be able to pull this off. But Brother Starnes, they are and they will so long as the Republicans continue their timid ways here.
All right. Chris, what's coming up on the big show today?
I think we're going to be covering pretty much what you and I just discussed. There's a great deal of concern about the spectator sport that was, you know, dangling of World War III over the weekend. I'm deeply concerned about an Obama slash Biden regime that is playing both sides. And then again, we fully intend to expose the depravity of what's happening in New York right now. And again, the potential it has to rip this country completely in two. It's a danger.
All right. Chris, it'll be fun. Folks, watch Chris Saucedo today on Newsmax. Mr. Saucedo, always good having you on the show.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. There you go, folks. And by the way, 5 o'clock Eastern, you'll be able to watch the Todd Starnes Show on Newsmax. Also filling in a little bit later on in the 8 o'clock hour on Newsmax as well. So you'll be able to watch two different shows on Newsmax later today. All right, coming up, Caroline Leavitt is going to join us, President Trump's National Press Secretary. She is going to give us the very latest updates from court today. Also want to hear from you. What do you think President Trump ought to do here? Should he defy the order, the judge's order? And should President Trump keep speaking out and speaking the truth? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. I have a question. Have you been to a men's conference before at your church? Dylan, I know that you go to church. Have you ever been to one of these men's gatherings?
I went to one at Bellevue, actually.
Oh, really? Bellevue Baptist Church. All right, what did they do at this men's conference?
Well, it was a long time ago, actually, but they had a bunch of different pastors come in and preach different messages.
So. And did they have, like, a band?
They didn't have a band at this one.
Okay.
They had a lot of good food.
Oh, good food. All right. So, you know, they a lot of churches have what they call a beast feast, where the men of the church bring all the things they've killed and they cook them, and you have a big buffet, and you do manly men things at the church. Did they have a male stripper at Bellevue?
Not this one.
All right, they did not. All right. There is an interesting story coming from Springfield, Missouri, or Missouri, depending on where you're from. A guest pastor was kicked off the stage for comments he made during a men's conference. This happened at James River Church. The pastor is a man who's had a bit of a controversial past. His name is Mark Driscoll. And he was coming to give a message. Before he got up on the stage, though, there was a man who mounted a strip pole and took off his shirt, kept his pants on, which was good. I'm sure the men appreciated that. And then he commenced to writhe about on the pole while also swallowing a giant sword. So that I guess that's the thing in men's church conferences these days. I don't know. So anyway, it's called the Stronger Men's Conference. I think they also had a big monster truck. And this was not held in the church. It was held in an arena. Thousands of people turned out. Now, the guy, his name is Alex Magala, and he performed on the America's Got Talent show. And what he does is called aerial sword swallowing. And he does that while he's twirling about on a stripper pole. But they don't call it a stripper pole. They call it a vertical metal pole. But it's a stripper pole. And so anyway, the Pastor Driscoll gets up there and he starts rebuking whoever invited the dude that was swallowing the sword. And he said that there was a Jezebel spirit in the room, and he was just going off. He said, Before the Word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, the same thing that's used in a strip club by women who had the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. And in front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. Typically, though, and I haven't been to a strip club, but my understanding from the movies I've seen is that the women are typically, they've already removed the shirt by the time they get out on the stage. But you know, maybe that's not important to this story. Anyway, Pastor Driscoll was really offended by all of this. And so then the pastor of the church, John Lindell, this is all from the reporting of the Springfield News Leader, he could be heard shouting, "Out of line, Mark, out of line," and ordered him to leave the stage. Maybe the pastor should have taken his shirt off and twirled around the pole. Maybe that would have been okay. So then the crowd started booing the host pastor. And look, this is weird. But can I just say that church is really weird these days? Have you noticed that? A lot of these, not even the big mega churches, but just a lot of the churches are just doing weird stuff. It's like they're trying to be super cool. And instead of just like being church, they want to be like church light. And they don't, their philosophy is, well, if we bring in a stripper pole and we bring in a stripper, then maybe somebody will get saved. I got a problem with that. I mean, you may as well just go ahead and open up a bar. Do like the Episcopalians do. No, I'm just saying. Anyway, people are really upset about this on social media. And my favorite line was, he wasn't a male stripper. Okay, he took his shirt off and he twirled around on a pole. I think we're playing loosey-goosey I think it's really semantics at this point. No, Dylan, he didn't ask for dollar bills. No, he did not. And I'm not sure he would have got some. I'm not sure the audience was very receptive to the guy shedding his shirt. And I will say this. I mean, the guy was in shape, right? It wasn't like he was, 500 pounds. The pole did not bend. It was able to maintain the weight that was there. And so anyway, a lot of people think this was incredibly inappropriate. And that is my question. Do you believe this kind of stuff is inappropriate for a church service? Have they gone too far? I remember a woman at many, many years ago. There was a big controversy because one of the dancers for the worship team showed up and she was wearing what turned out to be a see-through outfit on Easter Sunday. A lot of people had a problem with that. So anyway, I'm curious. Do you have a problem with the preachers stripping and twirling around on a pole right in the middle of church? 901-260-5926. You understand what's wrong with America? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Wow. Yeah, the video's all over social media. I can't even bring it to... I cannot put it on my page. I can't do it. Lightning. Yeah, we've got thunderstorms in the area. All right, we'll be right back, folks. Hang tight. Yeah, I don't know what it is with the whole Christian celebrity thing. It just all sort of creeps me out. You heard about what T.D. Jakes, is he the guy that wears the dress when he, clerical robes. It looks like a dress to me. And he would hang out with, who was it, P. Diddy? I'm getting confused. Anyway, it's one of those rapper hip-hop dudes that's facing a whole heck of a lot of trouble. And then there was Joel Osteen, who actually attended the Lady Gaga Gay Pride celebration. And I'm not making this up. It's true. Anyway, Joel Osteen and his wife Victoria were at the Apollo Theater. This is a couple of years ago. They went to a Lady Gaga concert sponsored by Pandora and Sirius XM. Look like they're having a good old time. I'm not sure who did Osteen's makeup, but he probably needs to do a little better job there. Anyway, Lady Gaga delivered a performance in which she made a number of pro-LGBTQ comments celebrating Pride Month, part of the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots. And Osteen was there. So I'm just curious. I will say this. Some people say, well, Osteen's got a radio show on Sirius XM. Okay, so what's that got to do with anything? So I'm just curious. Now we've got the men's Bible conference where they've got the monster truck and they've got the guy ripping off his shirt and mounting a stripper pole while swallowing a sword, which no doubt takes a lot of talent and ability and coordination. But does that actually bring you closer to God? Is there anything wrong with that? Because a lot of churches these days are just pushing the envelope. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I will say this, at least in my Baptist faith tradition, I'm not sure I want any preachers taking off their shirts. They've been around the buffet a time or two, too many. All right, we have been following the developments coming out of New York City. Folks, it is a witch hunt. It is a kangaroo court. It is an embarrassment to the United States of America, what's happening to President Trump. I want to bring into the conversation Caroline Leavitt, who serves as President Trump's national press secretary. Caroline, what's the latest so far? I know there was a lunch break, but pretty despicable what they're doing to the president.
It is beyond despicable, Todd, what they are doing to the president today. I was there in the courtroom this morning. And to be honest with you, sitting there watching President Trump being persecuted like a criminal in a criminal, dirty courtroom made me lose a lot of faith in our country. We no longer have an equal system of justice. This is a witch hunt, a trial brought by the sitting president of the United States against his political opponent. And it's at the behest of Joe Biden, being brought by District Attorney Alvin Bragg. And what a grave misuse of New York taxpayer funds. I couldn't help but think that to myself as well this morning. What a waste of time for the New York Police Department, who is forced to stand outside to protect the courthouse when they should be able to do their jobs, which is to arrest and detain real criminals, violent criminals in the streets of New York. And then you have this judge overseeing the case who refused to recuse himself this morning despite having a clear conflict of interest. Judge Mershon's daughter works for a Democrat political consulting firm that represents Adam Schiff and Kamala Harris. The judge also disrespectfully said to President Trump that he may have to miss his high school son's graduation, Barron's graduation, and they will not may not grant the request for the president to have that day off. And then he threatened the president with arrest if the president misses a day of court. It is a despicable show trial in the media capital of the world. And this is part of the Democrats' strategy to keep Joe Biden in the White House. And if anyone doesn't believe that, look at the timing of the case. They have had 7 years to do this, but they're bringing it now because President Trump continues to rise in the polls.
Yeah, this is all sleazy. And you've got Merchan, Juan Merchan, who is the judge, gave money to the Biden campaign. And somebody said, well, it was just $15. I don't care if it's a penny. That shows you right there the guy already has picked a side here. And he also gave money to an organization that was a get-out-the-vote campaign against Republicans. So I just don't see how the president gets a fair trial here.
It's going to be nearly impossible for him to get a fair trial based on the demeanor of the judge in the courtroom this morning, who was incredibly rude, and also based on the fact that they denied the legal team's request to change the venue to get a fair and honest jury. And that's not something that is quite possible when you're in a deep blue Democrat leaning jurisdiction. And the defendant is the Republican nominee for president of the United States. And it's just a travesty of justice. President Trump's team is the best in the business. They're going to continue to fight as hard and long as they possibly can every single day. We will show up and we'll fight for truth. But we will also continue to fight through our campaign and fight for the votes of Americans. And part of that is exposing the truth about this trial. Part of that is exposing the conflict of interest that Judge Merchan has, is talking about the fact that DA Alvin Bragg is spending millions of dollars on this trial and releasing illegal criminals who are beating up police officers, yet spending his time prosecuting President Trump. And that's why they put the gag order on the president, because they don't want him to be able to expose the truths about the conflicts of interest with the judge and the corruption that is rooted in this case. And it starts with Joe Biden. Joe Biden is behind this. Let's not forget. This is a Biden trial to keep Joe Biden in the White House for another 4 years.
Well, sure. Even Jonathan Turley, who is, who I think is a fair arbiter here, but he's on the other side, says that this trial is absurd, that the hush money case mm-hmm. is just absolutely absurd. And you do wonder if there is going to be some blowback here directed at the Democrats for what they've done to Donald Trump.
Well, it certainly is going to backfire, and we'll make sure of it. Just like all of the indictments and the two impeachments and the constant lies that the mainstream media pushes against President Trump every single day for the last 8 years have backfired, we'll make sure this trial backfires as well, because he's standing for truth. And he's in this political fight because he loves this country and he wants to make it great again. And let's not forget that we have a current president who is leading us into World War III. Just this past weekend, Iran launched those airstrikes on Israel.
Yeah.
Russia's continuing with its invasion of Ukraine. China promising to take Taiwan. We are literally on the brink of World War III, and that just shows how ridiculous and petty this strategy is by the Democrats, that they're weaponizing the justice system when they should be focusing on securing peace around this world, securing our southern border, immigration and inflation, the top two issues of Americans in every state across this country. And Joe Biden has no plan in sight to end it, because, frankly, he wants an open border because it means more votes for him. And he has no economic plan to actually curb inflation, because he's part of the tax and spend big government globalists who want the middle class to be wiped out. So they don't have solutions to policy. So this is their strategy, to confine the president to a courtroom, keep him off the campaign trail, and hopefully win by slandering him with lies. But it's not going to work, and our campaign is working diligently around the clock, I can assure you, to make sure it doesn't happen.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Good stuff. Well, Caroline, thanks for the updates there. Hang in there. And the American people, they see through this. They know what's going on, and it's pretty shameful.
It sure is. Thank you so much, Todd. We appreciate you.
All right. Caroline Leavitt, everybody, President Trump's national press secretary, and she was in the courtroom today. They were taking a lunch break. And I'm telling you, this whole thing is meant to keep Trump off the campaign trail. Letitia James, the attorney general of New York, ladies and gentlemen, literally campaigned on a promise to get Donald Trump. Didn't matter what the charge was, if it was real or not, it didn't matter. She promised to get Donald Trump. Same with Alvin Bragg, the district attorney. Now you've got the judge here who refuses to recuse himself. His daughter is a rabid anti-Trump fanatic working for a Democrat political operative campaign. And the judge himself donated to Joe Biden, and he donated to an anti-Trump political operation, campaign operation. That tells you there's no way the president's getting a fair shake here at all. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, just got a text message. So the anti-Semites are now blocking the Golden Gate Bridge. First, they were blocking the expressways around O'Hare International Airport in Chicago. Now, they're shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge. I mean, I wonder how many of these people actually have four-wheel drive and know how to use it. I'm just saying. Or get out the big water cannons and the popo. They're being told to stand down. I just have to believe that. But it seems to me a well-placed water cannon would be very effective in a situation like that. Not only would it clear the roadway, I mean, many of these people don't bathe on a regular basis. Maybe throw in a little dish soap and, you know, you might be doing the country a favor. All right, let's go to North Carolina. Ron, listening to us on the Talk Station. Hi, Ron, what's on your mind?
You were asking about the going on in some of the churches. But I told a young lady that if the church changes so they can get the world to attend, then they are of the world, and they are no longer a religious establishment. There are some churches I know of that do not even read the scriptures. Our church reads the Old Testament, the New Testament, Psalms, and then one of the four Gospels every Sunday.
Ron, and what do you make of this? Have you ever been to one of these men's conferences? And I don't think there's anything wrong with a men's conference or a ladies' conference. I've just never seen one that's, you know, where a guy has stripped down and, you know, swallowed a sword before.
I have been to a men's conference, but I have been to both political and business conferences and religious conferences, and I've never seen any theatrics like that.
Nobody got butt naked is what you're saying, Ron.
Do what now?
Nobody got buck naked, as they say.
No. They always kept their clothes on. When I go to a political conference, most time we started out with a prayer and then the pledge.
You know what it is, Ron? What these pastors are saying ultimately is that the message of Jesus Christ is not enough, that they need more. That's ultimately what they're doing when they're bringing in the monster trucks and the half-naked men on the stripper poles. That's ultimately what they're saying.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It's really unfortunate. But, Ron, I'm glad you called in, and thanks for your perspective. And I'm telling you, I go to a great church where, you know, the main thing is the main thing. And I suspect many of you do as well. But I'm telling you, if you want to see what's wrong with America, those churches like that are the problem. And people will fire back. You know, they'll get riled up. Well, you're just a narrow-minded person. You just think the choir ought to be in a robe and sing Bring It in the Sheaves. Well, okay, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying I would not expect for the altos to shed their robes mid-church and start writhing around on a stripper pole. I just don't think that's appropriate. I had a bad visual, pardon me on that. Oh, by the way, speaking of songs, I've got to share this with you. So there, Baylor University, which used to be the world's largest Baptist school, now it's as perverted as every other school out there. So there is a professor there, and he made headlines a few weeks ago by going after J.K. Rowling from the Harry Potter chick. And she created Harry Potter. And J.K. Rowling she's a radical leftist, but at least she understands that God made male and female. And she has been one of the leading critics of this whole transgender nonsense. So anyway, Baylor University, this professor, his name is Greg Garrett. And again, this is supposedly a Christian university. This is why it's just surprising to me. And maybe I shouldn't be surprised. Anyway, Greg Garrett is a self-described pro-choice, gay-affirming, trans-affirming English professor at Baylor University. Now, there's a lot wrong with that, right? Or is it, I mean, is that okay? I mean, are you allowed to, you know, Baylor says they want to have a diverse faculty. Well, they've certainly got it. Seems to me you would want to have a Christian faculty at a Christian school, but I digress. So anyway, Professor Garrett was speaking at a conference the other day, and he was very concerned because he said that there is that one of the hymns they were going to sing is sexist. Do we have that audio? We don't have the audio. All right. So I'm going to read this to you. So
the guy is also an Episcopalian, and that explains a lot. He says, I don't like to interrupt liturgy. Liturgy is holy. It works when it's together. He says, we have a song that is 200 years old, which is our opening hymn. The name of the song is Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. And he says that song is sexist because it doesn't include the women. But actually, it does in a later verse. But he says, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship, which is the name of the song, is a sexist song. And here's the reason why. He says that the sisters are just as equal to the brothers. And so he rewrote the hymn. He rewrote the lyrics to Brethren, We Have Come to Worship. No, they did not publish the, maybe instead of Brethren, it was peoples, we have come to, I don't know, humans. Well, no, human has man in it, so I'm not sure that's going to be allowed. So there you go. This guy also hates J.K. Rowling and thinks that she ought to be canceled. Now, this is a professor at a Baptist university called Baylor University in Waco, Texas, home of the silo. So I'm curious here, folks, do you have a problem with all of this? It's almost like the culture, instead of the church influencing the culture has completely influenced the church. And I write about this in Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And with churches like this, though, it's going to be tough to save America. I still believe that America can be saved. But if churches are going down this path, and if this is what's coming out of a Christian school, you may as well just save tens of thousands of dollars and take your kid over to the community college. Because this is really hedonistic, what's happening over at Baylor. All right, hang tight, everybody. Art Alley, our good buddy, coming up. Also, the very latest from the Trump trial. And you're not going to believe what was going on in Nashville, Tennessee. Hashtag booty twerk. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us. Well, the situation over in San Francisco is pretty insane. We are watching video coming from the Golden Gate Bridge, where a bunch of pro-Hamas anti-Semites are out there on the bridge, and they have shut down traffic in both directions during morning rush hour. And the police are doing nothing. And I'm just curious here, what do they need to do to clear this bridge? I mean, are we, I don't know, talking about water cannons, four-wheel drive? What about tear gas? Or better yet, why don't the police just enforce the laws that are on the books? Now, we see this all the time. All the time. There's always one set of rules for the leftists when they protest. And I'm telling you, if these yahoos were out there and they were, let's just say they were all wearing MAGA hats, they would all be arrested and charged with insurrection. But because they're Democrats, they get a pass. Now, here in Memphis, Tennessee, I'll give you an example. Over the weekend, this was yesterday, in Nashville and Memphis, and you had these rather well-rounded women, and they were in Nashville for something called Freaknik, which I believe is the Black Spring Break. And they get, it's pretty nasty stuff they're doing. Pretty much they're doing what that guy was doing on the stripper pole at the men's conference. Except they can't mount the poles because the poles can't handle that much weight. I'm not. I'm just stating a fact here. I mean, there's only so much weight the poles can hold. And so these big old gals were in these thong-type outfits, and they began to do unmentionable things to the grill, the front end of a patrol car. and they were literally shaking their booties, or buttocks, if you will, derrieres, on the police car. These black kids were out there. They were blocking roadways, causing all sorts of mayhem. And I nobody was arrested. Not a single person was arrested. If those kids had been wearing Trump hats and button-down shirts, they would have all been thrown in jail. And they should have been thrown in jail because they're breaking the law. But nobody got arrested. They didn't even make the girls in the thongs pay for the cars to be washed and waxed. It makes no sense. And so then last night in Memphis, Tennessee, in the downtown area, right at the tip of Beale Street, which is where they have the Orpheum Theater, the Broadway show Wicked is going on right now. And you've got all these high-end hotels. And there was one of these street takeovers where you had all of these black kids in their cars, and they were causing all sorts of mayhem, hanging out of the cars. A lot of them had the backpacks. You can only imagine what was in the backpacks. This is what it sounded like. Cut 11. That's what it sounded like in downtown Memphis, right in front of the Orpheum Theater. People, tourists were apparently terrified, and rightfully so, because you don't know if, you know, these kids are going to pull out guns and start shooting each other. And by the way, in most of these kinds of street takeovers, the guns are there, and they are not afraid to use them. Now, what's fascinating here about all of this is that there were police officers literally standing on the sidewalks allowing all of this to happen. So one of two things is true. Either the police just did not do their jobs, or the police were told to stand down. And I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe that the police were told to stand down because you can't be arresting black people in Memphis. I know that I know that's a controversial thing to say, but it's true. It's true. As a matter of fact, just a few days ago, we had a horrible situation where three Memphis police officers were shot by a couple of thugs. They exchanged fire, and one of the thugs was killed. And this 18-year-old. Now, the police officer was just on the job for about 4 years, married, and a little tiny baby girl. Officer Joseph McKinney, they call him Rusty. He's from a little town just north of Memphis called Munford, Tennessee. Great little country town. He was a member of the marching band. They have a great marching band program. The kids from Munford have actually marched in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Good people in Munford. The kid worked at a Chick-fil-A, and he was gunned down. Now, this was an entirely preventable situation in Memphis because now we know that the 18-year-old thug had been arrested the month before. He had been arrested last month. He was facing car theft charges. He had in his possession weapons that were not his, and he modified those weapons. These were major felonies. And yet we have judges, and then the judges are responsible for these judicial commissioners. And these commissioners are the ones who decide whether or not to grant bail. There was a commissioner. His name is Chris Ingram, under the supervision of Judge Bill Anderson Jr. And this judicial commissioner set this animal out on our streets on his own recognizance. No bond. And now we got a dead cop. Two others that are wounded. Now, I'm just going to say this because it needs to be said. We point out hypocrisy on this program. Had it been a a reversal of the races here, this would be a national news story. I'm just saying. It's not right. But this is the reality that we all live in. You see, in Memphis, Tennessee, the people here, the voters, they choose people not based on qualifications or experience or capabilities. They elect people based on their skin color and their political party. That's it. And it is not out of the, it's not unusual for someone to go to the ballot box and ask, what color is that person and are they a Democrat? And if they're black and a Democrat, they get the vote. That's just the way it is. It's the reality of life here. It doesn't have to be that way, but it is. And now, as a result of all of that, a cop is dead. And I would contend that a lot of people here in the Memphis area have blood on their hands. The elected leaders and the people who elected them. Now, I think that we've reached critical mass here in Memphis. And the question now is, can the city be saved? Because I don't think that Governor Bill Lee in Nashville, the Republican governor, I don't think he gives a crap about what happens in Memphis, Tennessee. It's almost like we've just been left to die. There are a couple of, and I appreciate Senator Marsha Blackburn. She's been out there standing up and fighting for us. There's a guy by the name of Brent Taylor, a state senator. He's out there trying to save the city. But this is a dangerous thing that's happening in this town. Dangerous. And I would we need a political party here. And I don't know, is there a conservative party? Is there, I don't even know if the libertarians would help us out, but we have nobody here to fight the Democrats. There is nobody here to fight the Democrats. And we need a political party that's willing to step up and at least say something and to condemn this. We can't even find a political party that'll speak out and organize. And maybe it's time for us to invoke Martin Luther King Jr.'s philosophy of nonviolent demonstrations. Maybe it's time for all of us, the conservatives, the gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorables of Memphis and West Tennessee, to stand up and inundate City Hall, to stage the protest. If the mayor's going out and speaking at an event, that everybody shows up and we protest. You say, well, Todd, that's not very kind. That's what the Democrats do. And it seems to work. It seems to work. As a matter of fact, when the mayor came out and talked about the cop getting shot, it was really more about getting the guns off the street. I saw no leadership. I saw no rage. I saw no righteous indignation. As a matter of fact, a couple of days after the press conference, the mayor and the police chief were out bowling. I don't know what that's all about, but it's shameful. There was a person running for General Sessions Court. Her name is Tammy Sawyer. She actually wrote that she had sympathy for the family of the 18-year-old who was killed. Really? The cop killer? You're going to express sympathy for the cop killer? All right. That's where we are right now in Memphis. And I, you know, we can offer thoughts. And every time I try to offer, you know, a thought or an idea, I get the nasty messages from people. You're attacking us. Stop attacking us. You're not going to get an invitation to the cocktail party if you keep that up, mister. Okay. I can go down to the Piggly Wiggly and buy my own Baptist martini. Thank you very much. Well, with that attitude, sir. All right. I'm just saying. Republicans nationwide have to grow a backbone. What was it? Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana. I like that guy. And he recommended that Joe Biden log on to Amazon and purchase a spine. I would say that a lot of Republicans out there need spines, too. People are that are willing to stand up and say, you know what? We think it's wrong to shoot police officers and kill them. We got a problem with that. I mean, honestly, if this had been George Floyd, you know, cities would be burning to the ground. but it's a dead white cop, so nobody cares. That's a problem in this country. You know, a couple of days ago, I was talking on the air about reparations. And one of these religious groups came after me. That Todd Stearns, he's a racist man. He's saying horrible things and identifying himself as LeBron Stearns. Honest to goodness, they were going crazy over all of this. Now, if you're just dipping into the program and you want to take things entirely out of context, it's a free country. Knock yourself out, you pagan heathens. But at least understand, we illustrate the absurdity of all of these left-wing policies. This idea that you can self-identify by whatever you want to be. If you want to be a black person, or if you want to be you're a man, you want to be a woman, you want to be Chinese, but you're really from Ireland. Well, that's screwed up. But you get the point. So, all that to say, I hope you pray for the family of Officer McKinney. This is a terrible story. This ought to be a national news story. But it's not. And the reason why, it's tragic because he's a white man, he's a family man, Christian man, and he's a cop. And those things don't generate the national news attention that they ought to. They should, but they don't. Now, by the way, we're helping to raise some money for Officer McKinney's family. Beautiful wife, beautiful child. If you go to kwamradio.com and go to the website, KWAM Radio, kwamradio.com, you will see the link to raise money. I think it's $250,000. That's the goal. And we're not collecting the money. The Memphis Police Association Foundation is doing all of that. But we told them we would be honored to be able to share that information with our national audience so that we can help these people out. But I'm telling you, America, we need to do some soul searching. Quite frankly, every church in the Memphis area should have been preaching about this on Sunday. Every single one of them. But they don't want to touch it. Again, it goes back to the problem in America are weak churches. That's the problem in America. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I don't know if you are like me, but I am so tired of woke programs like Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu. I was watching the new Benjamin Franklin series. I'm a huge fan of those kinds of history things. They made Benjamin Franklin pro-transgender. I kid you not. It's just unbelievable. This is why you need to get Newsmax Plus. It is the fastest growing streaming service in America. With Newsmax Plus, you're going to get the Newsmax channel and you're going to get Newsmax 2, which is our brand new network. You can watch me, yours truly. President Trump says Newsmax Plus is terrific. You get to bypass big media and you get Newsmax channels plus these great documentaries. So you can start a free trial today. It costs nothing to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com to register. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. You'll be able to download the app and start watching, following millions and millions of Americans who are already doing the same. NewsmaxPlus.com today. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's get to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Debbie in Chattanooga. Hi, Debbie. What's on your mind?
Todd. I'm so glad to get to speak with you. It just really builds up on me over the week, and I try to get everything done. I try to send text and everything to Newsmax, to Fox, and just talk to people, and we just can't get enough done.
Well, look, we've got some big problems in this country, no doubt about it, Debbie. Which one are we talking about?
Well, I think you were talking about transgender earlier, but I sent you a text about these people that's blocking the bridges now all over the country, the Palestinians.
What do you think we ought to do with those people?
Israel. I think we should arrest them and put them in jail and then send them back overseas, just like we to do the immigrants that are coming over here, and they're eating our country up. They're taking our medical departments away. We won't have anything left.
No, we won't, Debbie, and I think that you're right. I think there needs to be a penalty here, and these people need to know if you're going to go out there and you're going to block a roadway, then you're going to spend a year in jail. That's it. I mean, we've got laws on the books. Let's enforce the laws on the books. This makes no sense to me.
That's correct. And if they're going to live, I don't care who they are, if they're black, white, pink, or purple, or what denomination they are, if they're church, or if they're what they're, you know, no matter what they are, if they're going to live in the United States of America, they need to abide by our laws here. And they, if they don't like our country, they need to move.
Debbie, I like the way you think over in Chattanooga, and we're going to have to leave it there. Got to take a break. Debbie, thanks for calling. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Just in time for the graveside service, another O.J. Simpson book, even more shocking than If I Did It. O.J.'s final fictional account, If I Did Go to Heaven.
St. Peter, I guess I better explain a few things I did back there on Earth. See, there was this glove, and,
Come on in, son. I loved you in Lethal Weapon.
Okay.
You'll be wholly amazed as the juice describes the heavenly links.
This is a beautiful course, and I keep getting a hole-in-one no matter what I do with this 7-iron. But I don't see any of my friends or lawyers here.
And just like the real O.J., the ending is unbelievable.
Hey, where's everybody going?
They decided to go south to the other location.
Man, that's crazy. Why?
To get away from you. And that knife.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
O.J. Simpson's If I Did Go to Heaven. Available now from Posthumous Publishing.
Well, all right. Can't wait to read that book. Thank you, Paul Shanklin, our great parody writer. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett listening to us on KWAM, KWAM. Hi, Bennett. What's on your mind?
Yes, man. I was calling about the show, about the topic about the police officer being killed in Memphis.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I agree. It should be public outcry anytime somebody, especially a police officer, get killed. Nobody should have to strap on a weapon and, you know, wonder if they're going to make it back home at the end of their shift. But in the context you're putting it in, I don't think it's accurate. Now, this guy was caught not too long ago in a stolen car with one of the devices that they steal cars with, along with a assault rifle with a Glock switch on it. Now, those two things tell me by him having the device, he steals cars. That's what he does. And by him having an automatic weapon, a semi-automatic weapon with a Glock switch on it, tells me he's willing to kill you about your own car if you come outside. So the prosecutor wanted to prosecute him on fair charges, which I thought that's what happens when you get caught with a Glock switch. For whatever reason, the commissioner, from what I heard on news, the commissioner turned him loose. Now, why in the world would he turn him loose? Now, I can agree with you, there's race involved. Because it seems that when they do things in black communities, no matter how dangerous it seems to be for a lot of times, they seem to be turned back loose to commit more crimes.
And why do you think that is, Bennett? Why do you think that is?
I agree with one thing you said. Sometimes people elect people because of the skin color and the lip service they give them.
Bennett, because you live in Memphis, that there's a very vocal activist community here. I don't think they represent everybody, but they certainly have the ear of the elected leaders. And the district attorney got elected based on the race issue, and he accused the previous district attorney of locking up too many black people. And that's why these commissioners, I believe, are letting a lot of these folks out because they don't want to be accused of being racist.
They may be trying to overcorrect. I think the previous prosecutor was very heavy-handed. You know what I'm saying? A lot of cases that should have been, sorted out, guys end up with a lot of prison time about. Case in point, the lady who supposedly voted twice or something like that, lady ended up getting like 6-7 years, you know what I'm saying? Which they never even proved that the lady voted twice or whatever. But
what's the solution here, Bennett? What is the solution to fix what's broken in Memphis?
I don't think there is a simple solution, because there's a distrust in public officials and in some cops, which makes people overreact. You know what I'm saying? Just like the law that they passed where they couldn't stop them, for certain things and all that. I mean, I think that they overreacted on that. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that drive-out tags you were seeing people with, falling all off the car, out of date and all that. I mean, you can't allow these things to go on. The donuts in the middle of the interstate, police couldn't even chase them all. You know what I'm saying? It's sometimes you overcorrect yourself, but I don't think it's a simple solution, because just like there's a lot of great cops, there's a lot of bad cops that makes people have distrust. But at the same time, you can't have this lawlessness. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what the solution is, or if it's a simple solution. But I don't think we turn into race things all the time helps the cause either.
All right. So Bennett, what we got? I think we got your point here, and I appreciate you calling in. Folks, again, if you agree, disagree, give us a call. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So I want to go back to something Joe Biden said just last week before Iran attacked Israel. Cut number four.
Mr. President, what is your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't.
Or else are American personnel and assets at risk, Mr. President? Mr. President, are American troops at risk as well?
All right, there you go. The guy just wanders off, and Joe Biden's message to Iran was don't. Well, they did it. So now what? Now what? President Trump weighing in on this, cut number five.
Go ahead, please.
President, do you think the motion to vacate rule should be finally changed, or do you think that it's just creating chaos right now?
Well, it's unfortunate that people bring it up, because right now we have much bigger problems. The country is we're a nation in decline. We're a declining nation. We have tremendous inflation. The inflation's coming back at levels that nobody thought they really would have. If you look at the categories of inflation, they have the worst categories. Many categories are not included. And if you included that, your inflation number would be substantially higher than it is now, and it's already at records. So inflation is back, and a lot of bad things are happening in our country, but that's the least of it. You've got Russia could end up in a world war between Russia, Ukraine, and all of the chaos, and that's something should have never happened. It would have never happened. What's going on with Israel, October 7th, and what's going on with Israel could end up in a world war. We have a president that can't put two sentences together. We have a president that can't find the stairs off a stage. We have a president that doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And we could end up in a world war. You know, we have just a little bit less than 7 months now, months before November 5th. But that's an eternity when people are incompetent.
Well, and the president's got a great point here. I want to go back to 2020. So the whole argument coming from the Democrats is if Donald Trump gets reelected, he's going to usher in World War III. Keep in mind, Donald Trump was the only president in modern American history who did not get us in any armed conflicts. Cut number three.
The world has changed because what Trump has done. And the American people, including independents and some Republicans, know how bad he is, know how much he's misrepresented, know how he's getting close to getting us in a war. I said, as the walls close in on this man, I'm worried he's going to get us to war in Iran. Unfortunately, I may have been right. The fact of the matter is there's a lot at stake in this election.
Well, there you go. So it was Joe Biden predicting that Donald Trump was going to get us into a war with Iran. And now look at where we are. You see what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen. So we need Donald Trump back in the White House. And I am telling you every single day, and you talk about voter suppression here and interfering in an election. So Donald Trump, as the judge said earlier today, Donald Trump has to stay in that courtroom every single day the trial is going on, every single day. You say, all right, well, what does that mean? It means that this trial is expected to go on as many as 8 weeks. So for the next 8 weeks, Donald Trump will not be able to get out and campaign during the weekday. So now I hope you understand what's really going on here. But this is a pathetic, and I think the American people are going to see through it. We've been down this path before, and tomorrow we're going to outline every single thing that these radical Democrats in New York, from Alvin Bragg to Letitia James to Judge Merchan, we're going to outline every single connection they have to anti-Trump organizations, every single one of them. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Georgia. Louise on the line. Hi, Louise. What's on your mind?
Oh, a whole lot of stuff. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
I just wanted to say a couple of things about all these protesters. I hope people understand that they're being paid to do this. They don't even know what they're protesting half the time. And the Democrat Party is the one that's paying them. And the only other thing I wanted to say is, all this crime crap, I don't understand it. All these cities that are in such bad shape needs to go back to what Rudy Giuliani did back 20 years, 30 years ago. Stop and frisk. You know, put a curfew. But anyhow, the other thing, if you don't mind, if I mentioned abortion, I truly don't understand all this about abortion. You know, I just don't understand why women can't keep their legs together. And that would, you know, we wouldn't have as much.
Well, and and on the gentleman's side, they need to keep their britches zipped, as they say, Louise, and that would solve a lot. Again, going back to the teachings of the good book, and the Bible covers everything, everything. You know, if people would only go back and start reading their Bible, they would know right from wrong, and they would know. They would know how to conduct themselves. They would have some morals, but people don't want to do that. Louise, great call. Got to run. We'll be right back. All right. President Biden canceling student loan debt again. Grocery prices going up, and today is tax day. What better person to talk to than our good buddy, Art Alley, founder of the Timothy Plan, timothyplan.com. Got to go check out that awesome website. Art, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, man, I hope I'm coming through clear. I'm in the car.
Art, you sound like you're in a studio. You're doing great.
All right, great. Okay. Just finished a Salem Pastors golf tournament.
Oh, how did you do? Were you out playing, Art? Did you get in a round?
Well, I was playing, man, and we had our secret weapon, Paul Blair, was on my team. But we had a great time, and it was great for, you know, they had 150 pastors there, and it was just to bless them.
Well, that's fantastic. We're going to get you a green jacket, Art, so you'll fit right in.
Man, I'd love to have that.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway, Art, thank you, man. It's always a joy to be on with you. Can I veer off our normal conversation and just give a little plug for, I think, the most significant thing we do at Timothy Plan?
You certainly may, Art. Go ahead. Veer away.
All right, man. You know, looks like, you know, we've close to losing our liberty and freedom, and you know the bad guys are controlling everything, but the responsibility, I am so convinced as I'm sitting here, lies at the doorstep of the church. So what Timothy Plan sponsors, and we got one coming up, is pastor boot camps for 100 pastors and their wives, 3 days three nights in a resort hotel. Most of the food is taken care of. We charge them $95 a couple. And they will get poured into them foundational biblical truths of how to deal with this culture biblically. You know, you and I, we both rail against what's going on, but unless the church steps up and becomes a church again, I don't have a lot of hope for the future of America. So that's exciting, and it's working, and these pastors, we've got about 1,600 alumni now. They're transforming not just their church, but their community. So our next one, the one coming up next, is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's on May 6th, 7th, 8th, leave on the 9th. If there's any pastors in the audience, we would love to have you register as our guest. All you have to do is go to libertypastors.org, or if you can't figure it out that way, call the Timothy Plan office, and we'll be glad to get you registered. But that has blessed so many pastors that, you know, we're in the investment world, and I don't know of a better investment we can make in America than to equip the pastors to be the way they used to be, the guardians of this culture. And, you know, a lot of churches are filling pews with a lot of people, but how many of them, Todd, are having an impact on what's going on? You know, the bad stuff keeps happening. So that's the most exciting thing. We're the major sponsor of that, and we'd love to see some of the audience take advantage of that. I mean, $95 for three nights at a resort hotel and most of the food covered, and we've got 10 or 12 of the top Christian leaders like David Barton, Paul Blair is a quarterback. It just goes on and on. I just couldn't be more excited about this, Todd.
Well,
so thank you for letting me veer off on that.
No, I'm glad you did, and this is a terrific thing. And again, folks, we're going to post the information on our website, libertypastors.org, and the event that
or Art com, or dot com, Todd, either one.
And this event coming up in Milwaukee, May 6th through the 9th. So you can go to the website and check out all the information there. And again, it's what a very reasonable price. And Art, I'll tell you what, if there's a pastor out there and he and his wife want to go and they can't afford it, you let me know, and we'll be glad to help pick up the tab on some of those.
Oh, that's a deal, and I'll share it with you too, man. It's just too important that they go.
Yeah, I love this idea.
Thank you for letting me share that.
All right.
It is making a difference in America.
All right. Well, Art, we're going to leave it there then. You're kind of cutting in and out, but we got the gist of that. And, folks, what a great opportunity for you. And maybe you want to send your pastor, and you want to send your pastor and his wife. I think that's a very noble thing. LibertyPastorsAgain.org. That's LibertyPastors, plural, .org. And all the information is there. Art Alley, Paul Blair, Matt Staver, Brigitte Gabriel, Bob McEwen, Mike Huckabee. A lot of these guys have been participants in this great organization. So go and check it out. That's going to be pretty exciting. In the meantime, I want to say thank you again. The book is doing well. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? If you have not gotten a copy, I want you to go to my website, and I want you to order one from me. You're going to get a great discount, and I will personally autograph your book. Again, toddstearns.com. Click on the store, and you'll be able to get a copy of my book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? All right, good to be back, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, you can watch me on Newsmax. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight, folks, so be sure to stick around for the show. We got to scoot out of here. You be good, America.
Three. three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.